Matthew chapter 8 from verse 23. But let's pray as we turn to God's word. Father in heaven, we really, really need you. We cannot do life without you. We're aware of our weakness, and we know that you are strong. We now need the help of your Holy Spirit, the one who inspired these words to be written down and preserved. We need him to open our eyes, to bring light to this page, to be transformed into the likeness of the Lord Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. Matthew 8, verse 23. Then he, that's Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is God's word to us this morning. We're going to start our time this morning in a boat. Just off the coast of Sicily. Sounds like a nice place to be, but this is July 1943. World War II is in full swing. The Allies are seeking to gain control with a large seaborne invasion of Sicily. Ben McIntyre, in this book, tells the true story. On board this boat is Major Derek Leverton. The invasion started 12 hours ago, so there's bombs and there's gunfire and there's all sorts going on. But Major Leverton waits on deck for his turn to go ashore. He later wrote, "As there was a bit of time in hand, I went to sleep." Leverton holds the distinction, McIntyre says, of being the only man to doze off in the middle of the biggest seaborne invasion man had yet staged. There was, he recalled, quite a bit of banging about going on in the background, but he had no problem dropping off. Close to dawn, Leverton clambered onto the landing craft and made it to shore, past dead paratroopers, through an exploding minefield. And while the guns were unloaded, Leverton decided it was time for a cup of tea. And so he went into his ration pack, he found some tea there, and as he was stirring up his nice cup of tea, very British thing to do, isn't it? As he was making his nice cup of tea, the planes came over and he started to be dive bombed by the enemy. This, he told his mother in a letter, added zest to the party. As the bombs came down, I hopped down beside a stone wall. A lot of dust and stuff flew about, and when I got up, I found a bit of stone as big as a football had been blown out of the wall a few feet from my head. Only an incurable optimist like Leverton could see the bright side of being bombed. He wrote, "Another bomb fell in the sea and splashed us with nice cool water." The guns had still not been unloaded, so Leverton tucked himself up in a foxhole and went back to sleep. Unlike his nourishing kip on the boat, this sleep was less restful. He said, "I had rather an awful sort of dream of dive bombing and so forth. And I woke up with a glorious sort of feeling that it was only a dream. And then I realised that it wasn't a dream and the blighters were above me in their dive." Can you imagine being that chilled out? A remarkable but true story. How could anyone be so calm in the middle of all of that chaos? Well, we're going to learn how to do it. Our passage today trains us to have faith, not fear. At times, life feels like that battlefield. All around us, stuff is blowing up and falling apart wherever we look. Or to put it another way, sometimes life feels like a furious storm battering us from all angles. The storms of life are anything that put your faith to the test, anything that fills you with fear. It could be health issues, physical, mental, work pressures, parenting challenges, marriage struggles, legal battles, death shadows, future uncertainties, money problems, housing stresses, friendship strains, spiritual doubts, safety fears. There's loads of stuff that happens in life that puts pressure on our faith. Is this not true? I know that it's true because yesterday I was praying for you all. I was praying through a list of everyone who comes to Silver Street Church, and it struck me how many people in this room, how many of us have just been through or are still going through times of real pressure. In fact, almost everyone I prayed for has had something pretty serious going on in their lives. The storms of life are blowing. It puts pressure on our faith, and perhaps sometimes we feel overwhelmed. I'm not going to cope. I'm going to drown. As the storm rages on, it often seems impossible to have peace. We'd love to be as calm in the chaos like that guy having a sleep in the middle of a battlefield, but it just seems out of our reach. Well, in this storm, Jesus teaches his followers how to have calm in the chaos. He's training us in the school of faith, teaching us to trust, showing that it is possible to sleep even in the storm. So let's have a look at this stormy scene. And the first thing that we see is Jesus calm in the storm. Jesus, he is calm in the storm. Look at verse 23. Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Last week we saw that Jesus was making plans to cross the lake. And as they get the boat ready, two people come around the corner wanting to join their crew. And Jesus warns them, it's going to be tough. It's going to be costly. And as if to illustrate the point, he leads his followers straight into a storm. The disciples who followed him onto the boat were almost literally thrown in at the deep end. Jesus was not joking when he was talking about counting the cost. It is going to be tough. And here is an immediate opportunity for them to put their faith into practice. He's toughening them up, preparing them for a difficult life of following the king. From day one, they need to learn to trust him because the storms are going to come. And don't we know that to be true? Not just the literal storm which they were sailing towards. Following King Jesus is, say amen if you think this, following King Jesus is a life which is easy, roses, happy days all the time. No, I didn't think anyone would say amen. A life of following King Jesus, as we saw last week, is a life of challenges and battles and struggles. Some of those storms come specifically because we are Christians. Some of them are just the reality of living in a broken world. But the storms are going to come. Faith will be tested. And so in his kindness, the Lord Jesus leads his disciples straight into a storm, so that in the storm, they can see him as he really is and therefore learn to trust him. And this is one scary storm. Verse 24 tells us it came on suddenly. The disciples, they checked their weather apps before setting sail, but this wasn't on the forecast. The Sea of Galilee is famous for sudden storms because of the way that the wind funnels down through the hills. In half an hour, it can go from stunning sunshine to a serious storm. And it's not a small lake. You know, when you think of the Sea of Galilee, in my head, I've got this lovely picture of like a sort of like a decent-sized reservoir sort of thing. You know, the kind of thing where you can have a nice walk around and wave to the people who are on the other side. The Sea of Galilee is massive. It's 13 miles long. It's 8 miles wide. This is not just like a windy pond and a little dinghy on the pond. This is a sea. It's a serious storm. In fact, verse 24 describes it as a furious storm. In fact, the words used there are the words mega earthquake. Mega earthquake. The sea shakes and boils as this helpless piece of wood is battered about. The disciples are clinging on for dear life. The waves are so big that it says, what does it say? It says that they swept over the boat. The idea is that the waves are so big that as you look at the boat, you keep losing sight of it because it keeps going down into the troughs and up again, down into the troughs. The wind is howling. The ropes are screaming. The wooden planks are groaning. And Jesus is sleeping. The perfect place for a little lie down. Remember, he's just had a busy Sabbath day. He's been teaching and healing. And as he gets home, ready to just put his feet up with a cup of tea, Peter's mother-in-law needs to be healed. And then the crowds bring a bunch of other sick and demon-possessed people, and he heals them all. Jesus has given of himself all night in that makeshift clinic, and so now he's tired. He is fully man. He needed a rest. And even though this journey only takes an hour or two, in that time he's out for the count, sleeping like a baby in the middle of a rock concert. Jesus, completely calm in the storm. In contrast, it's panic stations for the disciples. They're running around like headless chickens. Verse 25. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." It's as if the furious storm is a picture of what's going on inside. White water turmoil. These are experienced fishermen who earned their living on the Sea of Galilee, and yet as the storms blow, they are overwhelmed with fear. They are helpless to do anything about it. You might have seen yesterday an amazing achievement. Eliud Kipchoge became the first person ever to run a marathon in under 2 hours. An amazing human achievement. It was being talked about in the same breath as things like Neil Armstrong walking on the moon, Roger Bannister's 4-minute mile. Amazing things that you would have thought are impossible, but he did it yesterday. It was amazing to watch. But one of the things that he said, and the hashtag they were using, was hashtag no human is limited. No human is limited. Now, I get what he's saying, but it's nonsense. No human is... Okay, we'll do it in under an hour then. There are limits to our humanity. In fact, the very fact that he was the first person to do it in under 2 hours shows that every other human is limited because no one else could do it. No human is limited. I'm afraid that's not true. Yes, humans can do amazing things, incredible things that seem impossible. That is true. But there are some things which are outside of our control. There are some storms that blow that we can do nothing about. And the disciples, these experienced fishermen on the sea that they called home, were overwhelmed with fear because of this furious storm, this mega earthquake that was all around them. Jesus is awake now, and he's got some words for them. Verse 26. He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Isn't it obvious? Have you seen what's going on, Jesus? And yet, for some reason, Jesus doesn't think that their fear is necessary. In general, it's a good thing to ask Jesus to save you, but on this occasion, they didn't need to panic. They should have trusted him. He says, "You're full of fear, not full of faith." This is Jesus. Did they really expect it to go wrong? After all, he was the one who had told them and made the plan to cross the lake. He was the one they'd just seen, his great power over sin, over sickness, over Satan. They've just heard him sitting on a mountain and teaching them, "Do not worry, but trust the loving care of your heavenly Father." He's just told them that life is going to be tough as a follower of Jesus. And so he says to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you not been listening? Don't you know who I am?" They were only full of fear because they weren't full of faith. And I love how, in the way that Matthew records it, Jesus rebukes his disciples before he rebukes the waves. Can you imagine them clinging on like, okay, we'll have our telling off later, but just deal with it first. But do you see the point? Jesus wants them to see that you can have calm in the chaos. You don't have to wait for the crisis to pass. It is possible to sleep in the storm. He says, look, you should be trusting me now before I've even dealt with the thing that's causing you so much stress. We see Jesus calm in the storm. An example to us that as we follow the King, it is possible to have calm in the chaos. It's not the last time that we see Jesus with a remarkable peace in the middle of an awful situation. Think about the hours leading up to his death. As the angry mob comes to arrest him, he doesn't run away in fear. He calmly allows it to happen. At his trial, as they're talking about the death penalty, he doesn't defend himself. Yes, of course, there was turmoil. There was turmoil there in the Garden of Gethsemane as he wrestled in prayer, and yet the cross was not chaotic. On the cross, he was calm and trusting. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And Jesus rebukes his disciples here because he needs them to know that it is possible to have calm in the chaos. If you see who he is and realize that he's with you, you can sleep in the storm. And this was a lesson that over time the disciples did learn. If you go to Acts chapter 12, we see one of these very disciples in a time of real pressure. King Herod is stirring up a storm against the Christians. He kills James, and when he sees that that pleased the Jews, he arrests Peter too. Can you imagine the stress of being in prison, knowing that the very next day it's your trial, and in all likelihood you're going to be killed? Can you imagine that kind of stress? And yet Peter, once more in the middle of the storm, but this time he's not panicking. He's not like desperately in the jail cell trying to dig a tunnel with the spoon. In fact, we see him there in Acts chapter 12, verse 6. We see him chained between two guards. And guess what he's doing? He's sleeping. He had calm in the chaos. The storm is real. The storm is scary. But it is possible to sleep in the storm, to have a restful, peaceful trust in God. This is the wonderful reality of the peace that comes from God. It does not depend on circumstances. We don't have to wait for the battle to stop or for the storms to cease. It is possible to have calm in the chaos, to be filled with faith, not fear. You might have heard that cheesy old kids song. With Jesus in the boat, you can smile at the storm. Now, it is cheesy, and we don't want to downplay the reality of the storms that we face. The fact is that some of the storms that we face, some of the storms represented here in this room, are so serious that smiling is not really on the table. It doesn't mean you have to smile through the difficult times, and so maybe that song underplays it slightly. But in another sense, it doesn't go far enough. With Jesus in the boat, with Jesus with us, we can sleep in the storm. We can have rest that surpasses all understanding. And maybe for some of us this morning, you like the sound of this, but it just sounds out of reach, out of touch. It's not connected with your reality. The storms are blowing so hard that there's no peace at all inside. This kind of peace is possible, though, as we understand that Jesus is with us and as we understand who Jesus is. And so I love how kind Jesus is here. He rebukes the disciples because they should have been trusting him, right? They already had enough proof and evidence of his power, but now he kindly gives them some more. Isn't that kind? He should have just said, well, just get over it. You should trust and let the storm rage on. But he doesn't. He proves his power. So second, we see Jesus calming the storm. As Matthew paints this portrait, Jesus towers tall. Let's feel the weight of these verses. Picture Jesus in all of his greatness. You've got the scene in your head. The mega earthquake is boiling. The storm is raging. The boat rises and falls. There's howling, there's screaming, there's wailing. And then verse 26. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves. And it was completely calm. After a storm, it normally takes a little while for the sea to settle down. But when Jesus speaks, completely calm. In fact, the words there are the words mega calm. So I love that. I love how it goes in a moment, in a word, from mega earthquake to mega calm. Such is the power of Jesus' words. Well, we've already heard something of the power of his words. We sang about it earlier. We read about it in the previous verses. With a word, Jesus healed the paralyzed man. With a word, he cast out the demons. But this is something on a whole new scale. And so verse 27, the disciples look at each other. They say, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." You can see the disciples still clinging on for dear life with sea-soaked spaces saying, "What just happened? I know we asked him to save us, but what was that? The wind and the waves obeyed him." The disciples would have been familiar with the Old Testament. There are passages there about storms being stilled. But here's the thing. That's something only God can do. They would have known Psalm 107, where it says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." That's the Lord. That's God. That's Yahweh. And the exact same thing has just happened to us. What kind of man is this? A man who does God things. I love that you've got both things here. Jesus sleeps because he's fully man. But when Jesus speaks, it becomes clear he is also fully God. We are limited. Hashtag no human is limited is unfortunately nonsense. Hashtag God is unlimited is true. Jesus, the man who is God, speaks and the storms are stilled. And this is why we can sleep in the storm. This is why we can have calm in the chaos. Because our Jesus, the one who is with us, he controls the storm. Our Jesus is this Lord, the God. He has power over all things. And not just the weather. Every storm that we suffer, every challenge that we face, every battle that we fight, King Jesus is in control of it all. Whatever it is, whatever storm is battering you right now. And like I say, as I prayed through a list of your names, it's not really just a list, I was praying for you as people yesterday, and I was overwhelmed by the size of some of the issues that are going on and by the number of the problems that are represented in this church family. Those storms are real. And yet whatever it is, whatever storm is battering you right now, if it's something that I know about or something I don't know about, if it's something so big you haven't shared it with anyone else, whatever it is, maybe you feel like you're going to drown. Maybe you feel like, well, this storm is just too big. Maybe it feels like Jesus is sleeping. He doesn't know what's going on. And if that's you, if you feel that the storm is big and you can't have calm in the chaos, then just take a look at him. Just have a look at Jesus standing in a still boat. Just take a moment to listen to the silence, the storm stilled. This is our Jesus. What kind of man is this? A Jesus who we know can calm any storm there is because he calmed the most furious storm of all. You know, Jeremiah 23 describes God's anger against sin as the storm of the Lord. A whirlwind, it says, swirling down on the heads of the wicked. That's what we deserve. We deserve the storm of the Lord to break on our heads because of our wickedness and because of our sin. And yet, on the cross, Jesus bore the storm of God's anger in the place of sinners, and then he rose again in power so that we have no need to fear. I invite you this morning, whether you have done so or not before, to trust in Jesus, to come to him, to ask him to bear your storm that you deserve, because as you do, you have no need to fear. Because Jesus is risen, because Jesus is in control, because Jesus is with you, you can be sure that whatever storms you go through will not ultimately harm you. Whatever storms you go through will not ultimately harm you. If Jesus is with us, we can sleep in the storm, knowing that he will guide us safely to the other side, to a place where all storms are stilled. This is why we can sleep in the storm, because our Jesus, who is with us, controls the storm. Do you believe that? Do you believe that whatever storm you are going through right now, do you believe that Jesus has power over that storm? It doesn't make it easy. Those storms are real and they're scary. You know, even the experienced disciples who knew what it was to go through a storm on the Sea of Galilee, they were scared. And even for the most experienced of followers of Jesus, the storms of life can be overwhelming at times. They are scary. But the power of this God-man Jesus is such that the biggest of storms, the highest of waves, in a word, in a moment, can be made completely calm. We can trust him. Instead of being filled with fear, we can be filled with faith, knowing that Jesus can calm our storms. But more amazing than that, that he can give us calm in the storm. I think it's good to pray both. Jesus can calm every storm. Do we believe that this morning? Jesus can calm every storm. Amen. Some of us believe that. Do you believe that Jesus can calm every storm? Yes. One day he will calm every storm. Amen? Yes. But he does not promise to calm every storm right now if only we'll have enough faith. But he does promise that in every storm we can know a peace that surpasses understanding. That even when we go through the white water rapids on the inside, we can be completely calm. And he rebukes his disciples here because he wants to teach them for the next time to be filled with faith, not fear. Can I ask you, are you waiting for Jesus to still your storms before you trust in him? You want him to sort out your problems so that you can then have peace, and then you're going to give something back to him? Or do we have such a big view of King Jesus that we are able to have calm even in the chaos? When I was 16 years old, my dad sailed into one of life's storms. He was a pastor of a church, and he wrote this letter to a church that he had pastored for many years. And when I found this, it really reassured me, because what I'm saying this morning seems like, I know that it's true, but it seems almost a bit offensive to tell you to trust God in the storm. What do I know about what you're going through? Is it really true? Is it possible? I'm convinced that it's what the Bible is saying, but does it actually work in real life? Is there any evidence? Actually, as I was praying through you yesterday, I was encouraged to see that there are many examples of this exact thing, calm in the chaos. I could name some of you in the room, but I won't. Instead, let me reassure you with my dad's testimony. This is what he writes. Shortly before Christmas, I was admitted into hospital. After a couple of days of tests, I was diagnosed with extensive secondary cancer in the liver. Big shock. Even more so when we were told that liver cancer has no cure. Chemotherapy will shrink but not remove the cancer. But with my liver in such a state, the doctors were not too confident about how long I had to live. So what does that do to one's faith? It's all very well preaching to others about a Jesus who defeats death, but what when imminent death is staring me in the face? I can honestly say that it was okay. Not that I sailed through with a fixed smile, but in my heart was a deep peace from God. I was not afraid to die. The truths I had confidently told so many people were comfortable to lie on when it came to the crunch. Bible promises were powerfully alive. I knew that the Saviour who had died on the cross to put me right with God would welcome me home to God when the time came. It is a great joy to be able to rest yourself in the hands of a God that you know is wise, loving, and in total control, and who is determined to do the best for you. Who knows what the future holds? Only God. I'm responding to the treatment, at least in the sense that I feel much better for it. Humanly speaking, treatment will only help for a couple of months, for months or a couple of years if it goes well. God isn't limited by human prediction. He is well able to completely cure me, and if that is best, he will. Not that it makes sense to me, but it is liberating to know that it doesn't need to make sense to me. My Father in heaven has got it sorted. My dad was someone who could sleep in the storm. Do you know what the Bible says about heaven? There's no sea. It means there's no chaos. There's no storms. And that's where he is now. As Zach likes to say, he's having a get well soon party with Jesus. This Jesus was with him in the storm. Now Jesus is with him forever. I put this right at the end because I wasn't sure if I could get through it. Almost there, right? I will never forget that it's true. I will never forget that the stuff I'm talking about this morning is not fake or made up. It's not a false hope. I looked into his eyes in the last few weeks as he faced death in the face. Do you know what I saw? Peace. In the storm. The storm had not passed. But in the chaos, he could have calm. It is possible by faith in Jesus. So I urge you this morning, don't waste your storm. Don't wait for the storms to pass before you start trusting him. But lift your eyes to this Jesus, this God-man. Be filled with faith, not fear. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we simply want to thank you that this is true, that it works. Thank you that calm in the chaos, peace in the middle of the storm is possible because of Jesus and who he is. He is a great and a mighty Saviour. And so I pray for each of us. Lord, the storms that are represented in this room this morning are real and they are hard. They are blowing strong. And we confess that often in the middle of the storm we are like those disciples, fearful. We find it hard to trust. And sleeping in the storm feels like it's completely out of reach and unlikely. But I pray that you would help us not to wait until the storm is past, not just to
wait for you to fix the problems before then we can trust you, but in the moment to know a peace that surpasses all understanding as we commit ourselves to you, the Jesus who is with us as he has promised, the Jesus whose word calms every storm. There is no other name by which we can be saved. And so we trust ourselves to you now, in his powerful name. Amen.